We bring to these microphones right now David James. This is a segment of our broadcast on a weekly basis that I hope you pay attention to because it's a conversation between me and David James, and we look at issues that the body of Christ needs to be paying attention to. By the way, on our homepage, prophecytoday.com, on the right-hand column, if you scroll all the way to the bottom, you'll be able to see that there is a section of our prophecy website that will keep you in tune with what David and I talk about. There we have archived some of the recent conversations that we've had. That again, prophecytoday.com, right-hand column, David James Reports. David, you know, we are a prophecy program. Our whole ministry is focused on Bible prophecy. I'm talking about me. You have a biblical integrity issue that you deal with in your ministry and on your homepage and website as well. But you're a part of our prophecy teaching, our prophecy activities around the world. And right now, prophecy, as it was 30 or 40 years ago, was very popular, but prophecy conferences have taken the place of teaching Bible prophecy in churches, etc. And now there is a prophecy conference that's being held twice a year that seems to be growing in popularity, going contradictory to what the church is doing. Talk to me about that conference.
You're right, Jimmy. There's a prophecy conference held by Prophecy in the News. It was an annual conference, and now it's become a conference that's held twice a year, once in Orlando and once, I believe, in Colorado Springs. And it's really growing in popularity, as you mentioned. I think even a couple years ago, they claimed to have over 1,000 people in attendance. Plus, at that time, they started doing live internet streaming and claimed to have, I think it was in the tens of thousands of people who listened to that. So it's really taken off. It looks like it's grown to two locations twice a year, and a lot of people have been in attendance and a lot of speakers as well.
Well, what's been the cause, basically, for this conference to be able to go from a once a year to a twice a year conference and continue to have such a growing audience, both online and there in person?
Well, I think there's probably a couple of things. I think there's really a sort of a pent-up demand for people to understand what the scriptures say about prophecy and just things concerning last days, given the world that we're living in now, and things that seem to be on a speeding train towards some last days events, and it's not being taught in churches broadly. And also, I think, again, with the rise of technology and the internet and things like that, it makes things much more accessible. Travel is easier. There's just a number of things, I think, that are driving it, but it seems to be one of the most successful conferences, prophecy conferences, going today.
Well, I noticed the one. In fact, I was invited to speak at the very first one in Colorado Springs. I looked at the participants and I decided at this point in history, I did not want to be involved with some of those who were speaking. Now, we'll talk about some of the speakers in a moment. But at that same time, you brought it to my attention as well. I mentioned to you that I had been invited and you started to really dig in and try to follow the development of this conference and really find out what's going on. Talk to me about that.
Your possible involvement, or the question, was part of it, but the bigger thing for me was, it was at that time that I was in the middle of the Harbinger controversy and publishing my book in response to the Harbinger by Jonathan Kahn, and I believe it was his first time to speak at that conference because of the overwhelming popularity of his book. The Harbinger became the number one selling Christian book in the U.S. in 2012, and so I just began following that, began looking at the speakers that they had, just trying to understand a little bit more. I wasn't as familiar with the Ministry of Prophecy in the News at that time, and it was when the reins of the ministry had been handed over to Gary Sturman with the homegoing of the founder, J.R. Church.
Well, indeed, J.R. Church and Gary and I had done television programs there at Prophecy in the News in Oklahoma, And, you know, it seemed that everything was pretty much on target if they were having me and wanting to question me about Bible prophecy and events happening, in particular in the Middle East, but around the world as well. I thought things were going pretty well, and I stayed along and helped and was a participant in some of their activities on the television, national television program. But looking over the list of speakers in Orlando, and by the way, the conference we're talking about takes place in Orlando March the 5th through the 7th, and that's why out front now we're trying to get on this and help you understand what is happening. And as we look at the list of speakers, it's a very diverse list that they have put together for this conference. Would you not say that's correct?
Yes, I would, and I would say that also is part of the reason for the growth, but it's also a reason for concern. It seems to me, as I've followed this, there's been a significant broadening of the base of the types of people, the theological views that this particular ministry is bringing in. And actually, I went through and did a research on every single speaker. They actually have 24 speakers, and I did an internet search and looked over them. And, you know, there, I would say probably half of them, we would say, would be solid Bible teachers. Maybe half of them, though, are questionable from one direction or another. I noticed they have one guy who is a KJV only, and I appreciate the King James, but when you get in the KJV only camp, you start getting into some serious issues. I noticed that some of them would not hold to a pre-trib rapture, or in some cases would refuse to just take a position, possibly to keep a broader audience. I noticed one of them claims to be a former Illuminati member and a former witch, and some of his claims are being questioned. I noticed another one is into spiritual warfare. So it's just really a very broad and diverse, and I would say even contradictory group of people
that are coming together. So that certainly is going to cause some kind of confusion. You and I in the past have used the phrase postmodern prophetic paradigm. Are any of these that you have questions about a part of that group?
Well, I would say that in general, Prophecy in the News has catered to guys in that, like guys like L.A. Marzulli, Tom Horn, and some others. The only one that I recognize as being kind of fit into that would be Chris Putnam, who has worked closely with Thomas Horn. And the problem there is that they're extrapolating far beyond what the scriptures teach, and even pulling in information from Greek mythology, from pagan mythologies around the world, Mayan, the Mayan calendar and things like that, pointing to supposed visitations by UFOs/demons, Nephilim around the world. So there is that connection. I recognize Chris Putnam on the list, and there may be other guys in there as well.
Yes, postmodern, of course, as David basically defined right there, are those who go beyond what the Bible says. The Bible's not the final authority, but you can bring other sources to the table equally equivalent to what the Bible has to say. David, in the past, and you and I both members of the Word of Life staff for a number of years in the past, we used to have what they called round robin prophecy conferences, but they were all held in churches where there was a pastor and there was a leadership and a church, and they had to agree with where we were coming from prophetically. There were groups like Pre-Trib Study Group, which both of us have spoken at and I've been a part of for a number of years, where largely everybody was in agreement, all the speakers were at least, about what they believed on Bible prophecy. That doesn't seem to be the case now, does it?
I think this particular conference that we're discussing is a perfect illustration of that, and there seems to be no theological control, or at least standard, or some kind of baseline where you agree on certain things. And, you know, when it's in a local church, you're under the authority of the leadership in the church and the pastor and what the congregation believes and what the church stands for. And Word of Life, even being a parachurch organization, is tightly connected with the local church. And so there is that consistency. And so, you know, when you have a situation where there isn't agreement, a couple of things have to happen. Either you contradict one another, which leads to confusion, or you agree to not speak on certain things, which means you're not dealing with the whole counsel of God, and you're leaving people largely uninformed.
There are some people who I would have to term, and I've been in some of these conferences, I can recognize them immediately. I would refer to them as conference junkies. In other words, from one conference to the next, to the next, to the next. And not this, not, of course, only in the area of prophecy, but we're focused on prophecy. Is this healthy for a from a spiritual perspective? And what does it lead people into, in what direction?
I'd have to say, you know, I have nothing against conferences. You and I both speak at conferences. But when you get into this jumping around from one to the other, you have to, one, ask how much time are they spending in the local church? Secondly, what is leading them to do that? Are they not being fed by a well-rounded teaching that deals with all of the scriptures, including the prophetic scriptures? And with that being largely set aside in many churches, even churches that used to be oriented to teach the whole counsel of God, this just isn't happening as much. And so I think it's going to lead to a lot of confusion, because what happens is these folks also go back into the local church. They have all of these ideas from all over the place. It's like this smorgasbord. They don't have spiritual discernment in many cases, and I just think it leads to a lot of potential problems.
Well, talk to me about what would you say then to pastors of local churches concerning this whole issue?
First of all, I think you have to be aware, and I know it's in larger churches, it's more difficult, but be aware of what your people are doing. Be aware of what's happening out in the broader world of Christendom, but most importantly, make sure that you're feeding your people a steady diet of the whole counsel of the Word of God. That means that you're not necessarily focusing on a range of topical issues or felt needs, or your philosophy of ministry is driving it, but the Word of God is driving it, and get back to Bible exposition and deal with the Old Testament, deal with the New Testament, deal with church issues, deal with prophetic issues, as the Bible deals with them. That's the key.
Yeah, that is absolutely the key. And always our bottom line, come back to what the Word of God has to say. Well, without reservation, I think you and I both would say this does have last days implications as it relates to false teachers.
Well, you know, again, I brought this up a couple of times, is the confusion that I think is resulting from this. You know, one of the things that we know is in the last days there will be confusion, there will be false teaching, there will be even a great delusion that will come as people believe things concerning what's happening and what will happen that just aren't true and don't align with the Word of God, and yet they will seek teachers to tickle their ears. They will be running after this and running after that, and the more they do that, the further they get from the clear teaching of the Word of God.
He that hath an ear, let him hear. I grabbed that from the second and third chapter of the book of Revelation, Jesus' last words to the church, and I think very applicable at this time. David, thank you so much. I think this is very important. We needed to discuss this issue, as we do each week, and which we'll do again next week. Thank you, David.
Thanks, Jimmy. Good to be with you again.
And great to have you. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to put all of this program together as I take a look at the book right here on Prophecy Today.